Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff here.
This is Rich Swann.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ali. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Luke Owen is. Quote the Raven. Nevermore.
WrestleTalk Rumble. Now is live.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Wrestle Talk podcast. I am Chopper Pete Quinnell, your Jam Pat champion, and I'm joined by my intangible co-host, as always, your Quizzlemania champion, Tempest, the wrestler.
I don't have my crown, Pete. I'm sad. I feel naked. My head looks far too round. It's usually a lot taller.
Yeah, it's fine. All the audio listeners won't know. You could have got away with it.
Yeah, but until when? Until the podcast starts and then people are watching on YouTube.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
If you haven't been watching on YouTube, go subscribe to the WrestleTalk podcast channel. Tell you what as well, there's some very exciting things coming. This coming month, it's going to be a very exciting time. Because not only have we hit 50,000 subscribers on the YouTube channel, which means we're going to be doing a big old live stream of watching all the Attitude Era WrestleManias back-to-back, which is going to be a really long, fun stream to do. That's going to be a big old time. But also, we're hopefully, fingers crossed, as long as nothing major changes in the next few weeks, we're all going to be going back to the office, which means we're going to be doing live reactions and things together in person.
In quotes. Yes. All going back to the office.
All the Brits, anyway.
Yeah.
In time, Tempest. In time, maybe you can join us. That would be nice. How you doing, man? How you doing today?
I'm sore. I'm quite sore. Yeah. You know, it's been a rough week. I don't know if I've mentioned on a podcast or on the air anywhere, but I've gone back to the wrestling gym to continue training. To be a pro wrestler, the other pro half wrestler. Of my name. That stuff hurts, you know?
Can imagine.
And it's like playing guitar and you just have to get your calluses back, like on your fingers and stuff. It's that same kind of thing where it's like, I know it's going to hurt for like 2 weeks and then be fine. Cause it's not the bumps or the rolls or anything like that. That's tough. It's just running the ropes. My butt hurts, Pete. Hitting the ropes is just like doing it for the first few weeks, and you're just like, every time you do it, you're like, But yeah, otherwise, I'm all right.
These are some great sound effects, by the way. I hope we can take them out, use them for some kind of soundboard or something.
No, I'll say this. I think I said this on a fan Quizzlemania, so like 50 people have already heard this.
Yeah.
And Adam thought this was funny, so I feel confident sharing it again.
Okay.
There is a unbelievable comparison between two sound effects that have nothing to do with each other that I've noticed over the years.
Okay.
There is, you know, in Star Wars The Force Awakens, right? When Finn has the lightsaber... And he's fighting off the stormtroopers, and this is like when Rey's getting captured by Kylo Ren and everything. Finn like kills a stormtrooper, And then the stormtrooper with like the spinny electric weapon thingy, the main stormtrooper in that scene, he goes, "Traitor." Yeah. He says traitor and all that. And I was like, that sounds very familiar. Where have I heard that before? And I've lined it up and him going, "Traitor," sounds exactly like a womp in Mario 64 going, it's like the exact same pitch and tone.
That's so good. Oh, man. That's amazing. I now need to. Well,
I'm telling you, it's exactly the same.
I mean, this championship wasn't in the way I could type faster, but I need to go find that clip right now. Star Wars The Force Awakens. What do I even call that guy? Storm Trooper.
It should come up fairly.
Traitor scene. 47 seconds long. That sounds about right. Let's share this. This one.
Will we be able to share with audio?
It's a good question. Let me see if I can do that. Hold on. Screen share audio. That's the one. Yeah. Be careful, Scary. Shut up. Let's go.
Raider!
Hold on, one more time.
Raider! And then...
All right, let's see if I can find this.
Super Mario 64. Super Mario
64. Womp.
I think it's the one. No, it's a thwomp then, because it's not that thing. It's the other one.
Yeah, it's the.
It's the blue one.
Thwomp. Yeah, these guys.
Yeah, see, there's the sound.
Thwomp sound. 2 seconds off. Yeah.
It's the same thing. Look at that! Look at that big blue block. It's so mad that it finds Mario a traitor.
Exactly. I think someone needs to make a meme and send us in of them like crossing them together and being like either a thwomp coming down and going traitor or the stormtrooper from Star Wars going one of the two would be amazing. Now I'm getting distracted because I'm getting tagged on so many different things. We've got some emails, Tempest, to go through in the outro portion of this show. Which I'm very excited for. I'm really glad we've got some emails. Thank you, everyone that's been sending in emails. You're the best. I'll talk about them in the outro. For now, let's talk about Smash. This episode's gonna be a tired one. I'm sorry, guys. let's talk about SmackDown because we had Sasha Banks returned on this show. She came back as a face, and then she turned heel. I thought it was pretty cool. Let's talk about it. So let's talk about SmackDown, which started off with, not started off, the thing we're going to be talking about first is Sasha Banks' return, which happened during a segment where they were celebrating Bianca Belair reaching 100 days as champion. And even though she technically hit 100 days last week, we're just going to do it now anyway. She came out and said, hey, it's been a great time. And you know, I'm enjoying being champion. Probably cut the same promo that she's cut since WrestleMania. I wasn't really paying attention, I'll be honest. And then she gets interrupted by Carmella, who's now lost twice, clean. And then Carmella says, you should give me another shot because I deserve it. And I said, no, you don't. You lost twice, but that's fine. Because then they get interrupted by Zelina Vega. And Zelina Vega comes out and says, hey, Carmella, do you want to be a three-time loser? And I'm like, hey, Zelina, how many matches have you won since you've come back to WWE?
Big ol' zero.
That's a big nothing right there. And then she was like, I'm a rising star. I'm like, no, you're the opposite of that. Because actually, I don't know if you know this, but wins and losses actually matter. If you're not WWE. So that statement holds absolutely no weight whatsoever. And then for some reason Bianca's like, yeah, Zelina, let's go. And then they start beating up Both Carmella and Zelina Vega start beating up Bianca Belair. Sasha Banks makes her grand return to make the save, beats up Carmella and Vega, and then she kind of grabs Bianca a little bit aggressively, but gets her into a big hug, and Bianca's like, okay, I guess, cool. Sasha's back, and I guess, you know, and I quite like the fact that they didn't have to explain why Sasha was being nice. It's like they had that moment at WrestleMania. Everyone kind of saw Sasha's reaction to it. They saw like the emotion in the match. They saw like it went viral where, you know, Sasha was smiling after the match had happened. She was recovering on the outside and you could see her smiling at Bianca's celebration and stuff. Like, I think it was a good idea. They didn't have to be like, we're friends now, because I think that the WrestleMania match was dead, and they actually allowed the fans to put two and two together, which was nice. It's unusual for WWE, which was good. I thought this was a solid little return, but it just set up the actual match later, where they had a tag team, main event tag team match of the four of them. Match was fine. Match was good. Quite enjoyed it. Sasha Banks taps out Carmella. They're celebrating at the end. And shock horror, Sasha turns on Bianca Belair, hits a backstabber, gets in, hits a tornado DDT, does a little bank statement, and leaves her laying in the end. I thought this was really effective to have her turn, to have a return, act as a babyface, and on the same night, turn a heel again and set up that WrestleMania rematch for SummerSlam. Thought this was really good stuff.
It's boss time.
It's boss time. Sure is.
Oh, God. Yeah, I really like the segment and the match and the post-match. I was wary while it was happening because I don't trust WWE, and I was fully expecting them to go another 3 weeks of can they coexist yes. before SummerSlam. And I was so thankful that Sasha turned at the end of the show and not in 3 weeks at the end of a show. Mm-hmm. I thought this was lovely. This SmackDown Women's Division has been struggling since WrestleMania. And it's just a breath of fresh air having Sasha Banks back on the show. Like, she's at the same level or higher as Bayley was, but we just kind of got tired of the Bayley feud. But no one else on this show, other than like Bianca, of course, is at the same level as these people. So having another star back that's the same level as Bianca or as Bayley is just, oh, it's just a wave of relief coming over that we don't have to watch like another Carmella match or have, you know, this loser Zelina Vega who hasn't won a match since coming back to WWE, have her be in championship matches or whatever. We don't have to worry about that for SummerSlam. We've got Sasha Banks. It's very good. The match is going to be good again. I'm very excited. Awesome stuff.
It's and I really hope as well, maybe not a SummerSlam, because I think you don't want to make the card too long. Just put the big matches on SummerSlam. They won't, because they're going to try and make it like WrestleMania, all the big stuff. I'm hoping that Toni Storm has like an undercard match, maybe a pre-show match, or maybe not a SummerSlam, and they start to build Toni Storm up. So whoever wins at SummerSlam, you can have Toni Storm as a legit challenger now that she's debuted on SmackDown. I think that would make a lot of sense. Also, just want to bring up Sonny Nev here saying next week, Bianca, I was bullied, and I don't like Sasha because she's a bully. I swear to God.
Oy vey.
If they do that promo, I'm going to be so mad. But hey-ho.
I like the Toni Storm idea, though.
Yeah.
That's fun. That's the new challenger.
Yeah, exactly. It's something fresh. Something different.
We'll see it six times.
And that'll set them off till the end of the year. They'll be set with Toni Storm. I hope not. But yeah, I hope that one, I think this is going to be a great match. We know these two have chemistry together. We saw that their WrestleMania match was probably my favorite match from WrestleMania this year, full stop. Close between that and the triple threat, I think.
Yeah.
Definitely my favorite match of night one. And it was awesome. Obviously, it was momentous because it was Bianca's Royal Rumble win and it was the main event of WrestleMania and stuff like that. But regardless, it was just a very fun match. It was booked to perfection. These two have chemistry. I'm really looking forward to their SummerSlam rematch, if I'm assuming that's the direction they're going. Swear to God if they don't. It was all just very good stuff. I thought Bianca's selling of her, like, betrayal and like being in the bank statement, her like hopelessness in the bank statement, I thought was really good. Put over the bank statement as like, she locks that in, she's gonna win kind of thing. It was, yeah, it was all very, very good. I really don't have many complaints about this at all.
No, like all of the complaints I would have had about it would have happened if they didn't do the turn at the end.
Yes. You know? Yeah.
But they did. So I'm a happy camper with this. I wasn't, I'll tell you right now, I wasn't a big fan of the rest of this show, but the whole Sasha Banks stuff, not a problem with it at all.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Well, let's see what you guys thought. Let's get into some of your Ultra Chats here. Make sure to get those in at wrestletalk.com/support. And we'll read all the ones that are $5 and up by the time the show goes off the air. Charles Berg says, Sasha turn was so shocking. I totally didn't expect them to do that. I haven't been this surprised since I learned water was wet or the sky is blue. Jokes aside, Sasha should never be a face. Her laugh is headache inducing and her aura is that of a villain. I don't know about Sasha never being a face. I think she's a likable person. I think that she can get over with fans. We've seen her be a successful babyface before, but she is much better as a heel. I will agree with that 100%. Mm-hmm. I think we all saw the turn coming, just maybe not on this show. I don't think we expected them to bring her back as a face to then turn heel. I think if she came back as a heel, that's different. But I think they did a really nice swerve of being like, oh, WWE going to do the WWE thing, bring her back as a face. But no, they just brought back as a face to turn a heel on the same show, which was a nice change.
Yeah. See, because I would often compare something like this to when Seth Rollins came back in 2016 and everyone wanted to cheer him and everything. The difference between the two here is there is a likable babyface in the program that you can cheer. People still want to cheer for Bianca Belair. Yeah. So you can boo Sasha Banks if she turns heel. That all works. Whereas in the first one, you've got, yay, Seth Rollins is back. Oh, we have to cheer Roman. I don't really want to do that. Mm-hmm. So it didn't work. But this works much better because Sasha and Bianca can both be great. They could both probably be heels, but I'm much happier cheering for Bianca Belair right now than I would be booing her.
Yeah. Adam Blomplate says, it was really good to see Sasha Bank. You could tell she was so happy to be back in front of fans, but that AR lip really is the lame-est, cheap-est, dumb-est, and most WWE-est thing of all time. Credit must go to Jonathan Hedman for that one. I hate it. It might be my least favorite AR thing they've done in a while. Matt Riddle's bird still take the top spot for me, but like, yeah. It's pretty bad. It's honestly awful. I don't mind. You know, genuinely, the one where they've got the rotating text and it says toughest, fastest, best kind of thing of Bianca stuff, that looks fine. It's the initial thing when her theme hits and you get the hair coming out of the lips and it does the whip. It's not good. It's not good
at all. I think it's so cool. And it's so proud of this.
It's going to date so horribly. Give it 5-10 years and we're going to look back and be like, what were they thinking? Like,
you ever go back and watch a pay-per-view from like 2012 and they're like, oh, let's look at Tout.
Yeah, yes.
They were so proud of Tout. Mm. Or like those early like 2012, 2011 pay-per-views where we're like, we're trending worldwide. Look at Twitter. They had no idea that Twitter was a thing until they figured it out. And they're like, oh my God, look at this AR. Oh my God. The Roman Reigns thing. It goes ooh-ah.
It goes ooh-ah now.
They're so proud of it. Oh my God. I've seen it's one bad. Of them that I like. It was just Kofi Kingston's entrance at Money in the Bank, where it was like a little New Day 2D side scroller. That was cool. 16-bit. Yeah, I like that a lot. Every other very one, cool. Bennett.
Yeah. Basil Banks says, Sasha returned at Royal Rumble 2016, did the BFF thing with Flair, and then attacked her. Then in 2019, told Natty her father would be proud, and then attacked her. Never trust Sasha when she returns. Her star power just oozes. I agree. She's a big star. Absolutely.
Yeah. She turns on people. It's not very nice.
That's what she do. Let's get into the rest of this episode of SmackDown, which started off with a recap from last week with the whole John Cena, Roman Reigns, Finn Balor thing. John's, which also included the missionary line, by the way, which got edited out of the YouTube version. They included it in the recap package here. Don't know why, but sure. And then John Cena comes out and makes fun of the missionary line. Cool. And then says Roman sucks more. Balor's going to sign a contract tonight for his match at SummerSlam. And I was like, wait, SummerSlam? Okay. What? So I was like, okay, definitely going to be some shenanigans there because Balor's not having a match at SummerSlam against Reigns. I would bet good money, good Louis Dangle money, that that match wasn't going to happen. And he was saying that Roman Reigns has to change every 2 years. I don't know if I'm a fan of these, of the content of these Cena promos, of him just being Roman's terrible. Doesn't Roman suck? None of you guys ever like him. He's just a bad wrestler. And it's not blurring the lines of like, oh, he's a bad champion or he doesn't deserve the title or anything like that. He's just like, he just doesn't get over with the fans. It's really like peeling back the fourth wall a little bit too much for me. And him just being like, he just doesn't get over, which is why I'm back. I'm really over. He's not. And he should be over. And he has to change his gimmick all the time. It's like, wait, what are you, what? It's kind of, it's peeling a little bit back too much for me.
Take two. It's like, my mind is just like, discombobulated from this. Like, you can cut a promo like this in 2017, and he did. He was like, you suck, and the reason I'm still around is because they tried to pass the torch to you and you dropped it and blah blah blah. That was effective and fine because it was true. But Roman Reigns has been a very like interesting and complex character over the last year that's been really over. It's been the most, like, not popular in the sense of yay Roman, but popular in the sense that he's the most interesting character and gets the loudest reactions on these shows. But it's like, he's just a guy named Joe. Like, all right, we're still doing this Undertaker's like Alan Jones. All right, Mark Calloway, all this stuff. Like, I don't like that kind of promo. And this is still just like, bleh, you know?
Yeah.
I'm not, he does very good delivery. And his promo last week was like very energetic and everything. But I don't like the content of John Cena's promos.
Yeah. This one especially is not very good. Really didn't like this one, honestly. This segment almost gets saved, but doesn't quite, I think, by Baron Corbin. Because Baron Corbin comes out and looks terrible. I love him so much. His hair looks awful. His shirt looks terrible. Always has the stain on it. It's amazing. His sad face is so believable. He just looks like a guy who's just down on his luck the whole time. It's the best. He comes out and he's saying because he got shot in the dick by the tank last week, he can't perform anymore. And the wife and kids have gone. And I just started laughing. Like, that's one, that's good continuity to have like consequences for that and not just have be it a throwaway thing. And also, it's just like, oh my God, Baron, I just want to give you a hug, my dude. But then Cena was a bit of a dick. Is a little bit of a dickhead. I mean, and so was Minneapolis, to be fair, because he was like, hey, should I help this man that's clearly in need? And he would come out, and he's done nothing wrong to Cena, by the way. He came out, and he was like, dude, I know we don't get along, but I know you can help me out. You're a Hollywood megastar now. Like, if you've got anything, please help me out. At this point, Baron Corbin had done nothing wrong. And Cena's like, should I help this man? And the crowd was like, no, F that guy. F that poor man who needs your help. But what? Okay, sure. And then Cena gives him a little bit of money that he has on him. And Corbin's like, wait, you're a Hollywood megastar. You can clearly give me more than this. You're a selfish seller. And I was like, there's the heel part of the character. Okay. And then Cena gives him an AA. So, I mean, this was fine. This was all good stuff. I was just surprised by it because I thought that last week was the beginning of the babyface turn with the whole Kevin Owens stuff, Kevin coming back to Corbin's aid after he got attacked by Rude Ziggler. I don't know. It felt like to me they were kind of undoing the work they did last week. I don't really know what they're doing with Corbin at this point. Like, it's fun. I'm enjoying it while it lasts, but I really don't know where this is going at all.
Felt the same way. Felt the exact same way. Like, I felt like last week was a lot of progress, and then this was more of what we were doing before that. And it's like, yeah, it's still entertaining. Yeah. He's doing a very good job with his role, but it didn't feel necessarily like we progressed the story as much. It was just like, yeah, all right, it was another promo. This, I will say, a lot of the things on this show felt really long. And this opening segment was one of them. Like, this just went and went. This was like 20 minutes. And when I say that I don't need a 20-minute opening promo on WWE programming, this is what I'm talking about. You could have done all this in half the time, and it would just not be as much John Cena bickering about Roman Reigns' character that he doesn't have, but actually has. When was the last time your character changed, John? When you stopped rapping?
That was his thing. Years he was ago? Saying... Yeah, he was saying that, like, oh yeah, Roman Reigns has to change every 2 years. I was like, but he literally did. That was the point. Everyone hated him because he didn't change character. That was the point, John, was that he was always main event Roman Reigns, and he was main eventing WrestleMania 5 years in a row or whatever, and everyone hated it. That was he did. John, have you been watching the product? Like,
probably not.
Yeah,
probably give me not. That clip of Brock Lesnar going, I don't watch the show, Paul. Why would I watch the show?
Yeah. It's great. We then got a recap. Let's keep count here. That's two of the Usos and Mysterios from last week. Then Ray and Dom did a little promo backstage where Ray was like, hey, yeah, you keep one eye on Jay and you keep one eye on me. All right. And then we had Jimmy Uso versus Rey Mysterio.
Every combination, Pete. We got so many more combinations to do we're done here.
It's true. It's true. Biggest news, of course, is that Murphy is obviously returning to WWE because they showed a little recap of Ray and Dom versus Rollins and Murphy, and they said the name Murphy on it. So obviously, Murphy back to WWE confirmed. Obviously, no hint of sarcasm in that at all. And this was a fine little match. It was basically just a reverse of what had happened before, where Dominic assisted Ray with the roll up on Jimmy and got the win. Which is what the Usos. Yeah. I didn't have
as big of a problem with it. Yeah. But
I didn't hate this.
Still, when there was a lot of not babyface behavior on this show, and looking at it from afar, there's a lot of stuff. This was just like another thing where, in a vacuum, I'm just like, oh yeah, turnabout's fair play. They did this to them twice, whatever. That's fine. But in the grand scheme of things, when every babyface on this show was not acting valiantly, There's another one.
I'm a big fan of. Was it you that was live tweeting off the WrestleTalk account yesterday during the show?
It was not. I think it was Nate. Maybe someone. Right. I don't know.
Well, someone tweeted off the WrestleTalk account saying the babyfaces so far on this show have rolled up and cheated behind the referee's back, stolen someone else's another babyface's title opportunity, and won via distraction and stuff like that. And someone then responded to that as being like, "Oh, well, this is obviously Pete tweeting off that." So I went like, "If you think I watched the show live, you're insane." But also, one of the top responses to that tweet was, "Look up Eddie Guerrero." It's like, do I really need to break this apart? Like, not everyone can be Eddie Guerrero. He's an exception that proves the rule. You can't just have every babyface be Eddie Guerrero. It just doesn't work. There's a reason why Eddie worked. It's because he was the exception that proved the rule. Everyone enjoyed watching him be bad. And he had the charisma to pull that off. Not everyone does. Like, that was his character. And you can't just have everyone... John Cena's hustle, loyalty, and respect. You can't just have him also be Eddie Guerrero on the side. Like, doesn't make
sense. And I mean, yeah, without going into a whole song and dance about it, Eddie Guerrero didn't just cheat as a babyface. He would cheat with a wink to the camera. Yeah. It would be the... Here's the title, fallback. Oh, God, my headphones.
Yeah, and the headset, yeah.
You know, he'd do that or whatever. The Latino heat, lie, cheat, and steal stuff where he would do it, but, like, pick his head up and look around and make sure the crowd knows what's going on and be like, oh, referee's getting up, play dead. Yeah. There's more to it than just he a good guy who cheat.
And it would be charming when he did it. It would be engaging. It would be funny. It would be, you know, not just... I'm going to put my feet on the ropes for this roll up, you know?
Yeah.
Like, sure, it was part of it, but that's not the whole package, you know?
It's different.
I just got an issue with people being like, well, you know, Eddie Guerrero did it, so all babyfaces cheating is fine. Like, that's not how it works at all. Anyway, they cheated to win. It's fine in a vacuum. See where it goes. Mm-hmm. And then, I really enjoyed. We had a recap of Bianca Belair versus Carmella, and I really enjoyed Pat McAfee. Sorry,
three recaps.
That's three recaps so far. Really enjoyed Pat McAfee. I'm pretty sure he said, "It's a shame the Rolling Loud crowd had no idea what they were witnessing," which is a really nice way to say, "Man, that Rolling Loud crowd were quiet."
Like, man, our show is so not popular. They didn't know what they were watching with our women's champion.
Right, yeah. Anyway, then we got Bianca coming out for that segment that we mentioned before. Then we got another recap. It's number four. Of Reginald becoming the 24/7 champion. It's going to be Reginald versus a mystery opponent. He does a backstage segment where he is not French anymore. He revealed in a WWE.com exclusive after the show that he put on the French accent because Carmella told him to. Even while he was not with Carmella and was with Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler. Yeah, makes sense.
Whatever. Never an accent in WWE.
Never ever.
Like, how many? This is at least four times I can think of that this has happened. Either you lose an accent or gain an accent. Reginald, Kofi, Lana, and Apollo. Hasn't lost his yet, but he found one.
That's there's only probably in recent more. Times as well.
Yeah, like,
there's going to be tons going back in history. I also enjoyed during his promo in Gorilla Position, some random dude came through the curtains and was clearly not meant to. He just came in and went, whoa, and then walked off, which I thought was great.
Like Michael Hayes coming out of the elevator a few weeks ago.
Exactly.
Like, whoop.
Yes. Oh, God. Yeah. Dive out the camera shot. And then, he says to call him Reggie now. And Reggie's getting a push. He's got a nice long entrance. He's got his little trampoline entrance now. He had a 24/7 title match against a mystery opponent who turned out to be Chad Gable. Reggie won by DQ because Otis interrupted after 2 minutes. Look, I got a few tweets this morning. People, I can't wait to hear what Pete's going to think about Reginald being back on SmackDown. I don't hate Reginald. I really don't. He's athletically very impressive. I hated the fact he was the main focus of the women's division. And, you know, if he was a manager in the women's division, fine. But he was literally the focal point of everything that happened in the women's division, especially the women's tag title scene when he was with Nia and Shayna. Hated all of that stuff. Him being 24/7 champion is exactly the level he should be at. That's totally fine. This was all right. It's Chad Gable I feel really bad for here, not Reggie.
Yeah, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, I don't care that he's on the show. Like you said, the problem was that he was the focus of the Sasha Banks, Bianca Belair build to WrestleMania.
Yeah.
This historic, soon-to-be amazing match for the Women's Championship. It was, such a big deal. No, we got Reginald doing whatever the hell he was doing. That was terrible. We didn't want that. Him being 24/7 champion is fine. I'd still prefer him to be 24/7 champion on Raw. But that's just because I don't want to see the 24/7 title at all.
Yeah.
Regardless of who is fighting for it. I don't want to see a stupid scheduled 24/7 title match on SmackDown because it's a waste of time. The title doesn't mean anything. And then you have to put Chad Gable in the match and Otis, and they double fake it out where he's like, oh, who have I got? Otis is going to challenge for it. And he comes to the ring. It's like, no, he's going to challenge for it. It's like, okay, just waste of time. And then they wrestle for 3 minutes, and then Otis hits the ring for the DQ. Waste of time. It's all just a waste of time. Don't waste my time.
Yeah.
And why is there a DQ in a 24/7 title match? Just hit him and then pin him. You can pin him immediately afterwards. Just do it.
Yep.
Whatever.
It's WWE, isn't it?
Yeah. Right. When we'd gotten like an hour and 10 minutes through this show, and the only matches were Rey and Jimmy Uso, and then this, and I was like, this show is not great so far.
Yeah. Then we got a contract signing for the Universal Championship.
Oh, dear.
So, one, I just wanted to point out that on Roman's entrance said he's been champion for 333 days. And that, to me, is kind of wild because it does not feel like it's been that long. Like, no. Roman Steel feels pretty fresh as champion. Like, it's pretty nuts to me that it's been nearly a year. And I still feel like, yeah, he's still got legs in it. Because normally by this point, I'm like, dude, this person needs to drop the title. Like, this is way too long for a reign. But this feels good. This feels right. Like, this, he's great as champion. I'm still really invested in it. This is nice. And it's refreshing to see a long reign that I still care about. I still want him to be champion. It's nice.
It goes to show how often the title's on the wrong guy or for too long. Because, like, everyone loved Drew McIntyre last year, but you get past SummerSlam, and that's when people start going, Drew with the title still? Because he should have lost it to Randy Orton at SummerSlam. If he's going to win it back, you can win it back a little bit later. But that was the moment. Roman Reigns hasn't had the moment where he's not the guy yet. He's still the guy even a year later. And it doesn't feel like, oh, he's been champion for too long because he's the guy that should be the champion.
Yeah.
He's so great. He's so great. And I feel the same way about like a lot of champions where it's just like, if they're the guy, their runs don't get stale, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't think Kenny Omega is running out of steam either. But top guys as champion doing their best job, make it work.
Yeah, exactly. So this contract signing, Roman and Balor did a little back and forth. Roman said he's going to smash Balor so hard he'll send him back down to NXT.
NXT exists.
I've really enjoyed Pat McAfee here of him just going like, I'll smash you back down to NXT. And then the crowd went, ooh, kind of died down a little bit. And then you just hear Pat just go, Tuesday night's 8 p.m. Just like really like quiet on the commentary, just very quietly just plugging NXT.
Yeah.
Really enjoyed Pat McAfee. He's great.
Pat McAfee's great.
Balor said, it'll be my honor to go back to NXT as the Universal Champion, and goes to sign it. But before he can sign the contract, he gets attacked by Baron Corbin. I like this. Baron Corbin is incredibly desperate. He wants anything he needs anything to get money. He needs a turn of favor, and he's going to force his way into a Universal title match if he has to. I like that. Corbin comes out, attacks Balor, and is going to go sign the contract. But oh no, here comes Wabadoo. It's John Cena. He's back again. Comes out, beats up Baron Corbin, and says, no, no, you can't sign that contract. I was like, okay, that makes sense. And then John Cena picks up the contract, grabs a big blue Sharpie, and writes big letters Cena on the contract, and then signs his name. I mean, that's not how contracts work.
No.
That's just not how contracts work at all. But okay. First off, let's just go off the basis that that is how contracts work. Whoever signs the contract gets the match. Let's just pretend that that's how it actually works. Cena's a dick. It's Finn Balor's title opportunity, not yours, buddy.
May I have one? John Cena is an asshole.
Yeah.
That's always been a major complaint against his character. And now he's been gone. He's been part-time for like the last 5 years. And maybe something will change. He'll be on this little, like, not retirement tour, but he's very clearly in the twilight of his career. He's not in the prime anymore or anything. Maybe things will be different. No, he's still in character an asshole. This is the exact same thing that happened when Rey Mysterio won the WWE Championship and John Cena's like, hey, pal, how about you face me for that title later tonight? And just beats him for it. It's like, haha, it's mine. Oh, my God. Like, every time he comes back, I'm like, oh, John Cena's back. Yay. And then I watch him. I was like, I remember why I hated this character for so long. It's the worst character.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And it's such a shift because there's some times where he's so, like, giving to more of the roster. Like, the US title open challenge was all about, literally, here's this person you haven't seen before, and we're going to have a great match. And it was all about highlighting other people and putting other people over, despite, you know, putting them over in defeat, which you can totally do. And a lot of times it worked. It was very good. And there's been times where, you know, he got to pick his opponent for SummerSlam. This is all in kayfabe, by the way, of course. He got to pick his opponent for SummerSlam 2013, and he chose Daniel Bryan because that was the most popular guy, and he wanted to spotlight the correct person and all that stuff. All that stuff. There's times where John Cena cares about the little guy, and John Cena's looking out for it. He's trying to elevate everybody up in character, of course, in kayfabe. And then there's other times where he's just like, nah, I want a title shot, so I'm going to take it. And this is one of those times where you just go, but he said yes to Finn's challenge. Why are you doing it? And also, there's that element of it, of Cena's just a dick. And there's also the element of, is this really how you're going to build your match for Roman Reigns versus John Cena at SummerSlam through some convoluted contract signing? There's so much story for this, of their feud in 2017, Cena's 17th world title win, Roman Reigns being on top of WWE for a year, Cena being away in Hollywood and coming back. There's so many layers to the story, and you're going to build it off a contract signing and a technicality? Like, that's just... What? A very, very strange choice for me.
So, it's weird because I like the idea of about half of what happened here. Because, obviously, we didn't want Roman and Finn Balor at SummerSlam. We want Roman and Cena to be the match. That's the match. And so we've gotten to that destination. And so I'm like, okay, that's good. That's an up, as someone else might say, you know. Yeah. But so much of how they got there was just like, why did you make these decisions? I get that it sets up Finn Balor as a challenger after SummerSlam. That's good. But I don't particularly want to see Finn Balor face Baron Corbin again. That's a storyline that we've seen at least twice. So I don't need to see that. But John Cena, again, he's supposed to be this babyface. And he's not. I'm not going to cheer for John Cena in this match at all. Oh, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you get to later in the show where these idiot authority figures are just like, well, it's fine with me. His name's not on the contract, but who cares? This is WWE. He signed it in big block letters.
Yeah.
God.
Signed it in big block letters and then signed all over the words at the top and not on the bit where you're supposed to sign it, which just means it's just going to need to be reprinted. That's just a waste of paper, Mr. Jonathan Cena. Goodness me. Think about the environment.
Him writing Cena in big block letters was just the F you at the end of all of this to me.
Yeah.
Like, totally. You're still just like the same guy that spray painted JBL as poopy on his limo.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, whatever.
It's whatever. God. It's dumb. And then there's the whole thing of like, that's just not how contracts work at all. But, you know, whatever. And he signed in a blue Sharpie. Like, you literally have to do whatever. Yeah, and like, if Finn's going to be a future challenger for Roman, cool. There's other ways to do this, so you don't have to have Cena steal Finn's opportunity. If Finn, like, willingly gave it up, maybe there's an argument for that. I still don't think that's a great idea, but maybe if Finn was just like, no, I'm going to willingly give up this shot because I want to see you dethroned, and for some reason he wants John Cena to be at SummerSlam. I don't know. It's a dumb idea anyway, but at least that would have had the emotional connection of Cena not stealing Finn's shot, which he quite literally did.
It was the like least babyface thing I've seen John Cena do in like 10 years, or at least since the Zack Ryder stuff.
I was going to say the Embrace the Hate was probably that.
Yeah, but that was like 9 years ago, so we're getting close.
Sure was.
Yeah. But like, yeah, it's just such not a babyface move. He was eager. He was like, oh, this gets messed up. I'm taking that contract. Yeah. It wasn't, I'm going to fight off Baron Corbin. I got to help Finn. I got to help my friend. Oh my God, the contract. Oh, mine.
Yeah.
Dickhead.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, as you mentioned, Paul Heyman went backstage and Sonya Deville and Adam Pearce were just like, well, he signed it. So, John Cena versus Roman Reigns. hated it. Then we got a 6-man tag of Big E, Nakamura, and Cesaro versus Apollo, Ziggler, and Rude. And then I wrote, oh, Cesaro's already there. Okay. Glad he's a big main event talent now. That Mania win means so much. And I was like, oh, and all the heels are already there too. Oh, okay. Glad your Intercontinental Champion got an entrance.
I don't. Whatever. No, I was going to stop myself. It's fine. They spent way too much time on entrances on this show to begin with. I don't need 6 entrances for this match.
Crowd singing to Nakamura's theme is very good. I'll say that much. Mm-hmm. They just did spot finish. Literally, as soon as the match started, there was a spinebuster zigzag on the outside to Big E, which is their tag team finish. And we went straight back in and did, like, everyone does a move finish thing sequence. And then Cruz gets distracted by Boogs, because that was in the script, I suppose. Boogs figured that was a good time to play the guitar. Big brawl, everyone does the moves, and then Nakamura gets the win with a Kinshasa on Apollo Cruz. Okay. Champion gets pinned. It's WWE. I'm so beyond caring at this point. Whatever. What else is there to say?
Yeah, we can shout into the void every week about this, but they're not going to change the way they do things. You know, but
hey, man, they're not going to change what they're going to do. What you need to do is just turn your brain off and just enjoy the show.
Yo, nitpicking so much.
Oh, I saw someone say that to Sean on Twitter. I saw Sean just being like, I can't believe they pinned the champion again. And someone responded to him just being like, just enjoy it, man, for what it is. And Sean was like, shut up. Just stop.
See, I don't even like. They tried to set up Cesaro for the Intercontinental title match last week. And he wasn't the one that pinned Apollo. No. Why is Nakamura pinning Apollo?
Maybe they're gonna do a triple threat.
Are they going to do a triple threat? Or all these people in a 6-pack challenge? I don't know. Just make it make sense, please.
Yeah,
please. Whatever. Goodness.
Then we got a recap.
The match was fine. I got like an actual wrestling match on this show.
Yeah.
When the babyface used the distraction finish, and then the weird babyface got the win. I don't know. I have no idea.
Got another recap. 5.
That's a lot.
Of Edge and Rollins, and then Edge came out, cut to an ad break, come back from the ad break. Seth Rollins is in the ring, and I was like, hold up, because my instinct was that they'd done a WWE and they were just going to not reference the fact that Edge had come out before and just be like, and now it's Seth Rollins. But no, they actually had a reason for it. Rollins attacked Edge during the commercial break. And honestly, I dug it. I thought this was pretty cool. It was different. And they just showed a replay of what happened during the break. And Seth Rollins attacking him with a camera and stuff like that. I thought it was good. I dug this little angle. Mm-hmm. And then Rollins threw to a recap. And I was like, God damn it. That was number six for the show. Threw to a recap of their feud, which, in case you missed it, we just had one of those. But this one was a recap of them from before Money in the Bank, in case you'd missed the story, basically. And then Rollins just says, if he can't be Universal Champion, or if I can't be Universal Champion, then neither can Edge. It was all right.
Yeah. I thought this was a solid extension of the storyline that they're doing already. Like, solid progression. They're doing this one pretty by the books, but it's a book that works. So I didn't have any problem with this. The only thing about it to me, because I also was like, I was positive on the beating him up during the commercial thing. Because in theory, it's real. That could happen.
Yeah.
But at the same time, when I've been watching, like, I feel like entrances took up probably about a third of this show. Mm-hmm. You know, the Roman Reigns entrance and the Finn Balor entrance together were like 10 minutes or something.
Oh my
like
God, Roman's entrance ridiculous. Is so long. Look, I love Roman. I love him as a character, love his entrance and all that stuff, but it took so long. Come on, like, man.
Undertaker levels of entrance length.
Yeah.
And we just had tons of these throughout the show. And I got to this point, I was like, show me something, please. Like, just show me something. And then when the important bit happens during the commercial, on this show, I was like, show me the thing.
Yeah.
Show me the thing as it's happening, not during a commercial. If it happened last week or on a different show, I would have been much more positive, but this was just too much this week.
Yeah, that's fair. Also,
that might sound like a nitpick, and it is, but hey ho.
It's fair. In the overall composition of the show, it makes sense. Also, there was We Want Becky Chance. Hey, fans, don't be dicks.
Yeah.
Throwing that one out there. Just don't chant for someone's significant other, regardless of gender or whoever it is. Just don't do that. Bit of a dick move. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. It's never been good, has it?
Nope. Never. No. And it's not like the story is progressing in a way where Becky's going to return. It's not part of the Seth Edge story. If that was part of the story and they were building to a Becky return as part of this story, cool. But they're not, so don't be a dick. Cool.
Yeah.
Anywho, we then got a recap of the contract signing that we already saw. It's fine. Whatever.
It's a lot of recaps.
Don't care. And then Carmella and Zelina Vega were in the ring. We had the main event match of Bax and Belair, which we spoke about. Decent match. Turn happened. Cool. And then they showed, after the turn from Sasha, they showed a replay of the turn that just happened.
Does that count as a recap?
Yeah, it does. Because for me, anyway, on this show, there was so much of that filler. There was so many recaps, so many replays, and the entrances took so long. All of it just felt like filler. Like, there wasn't actually that much substance on this show. On a 2-hour show, you could have fit everything that actually happened of actual meaning in like half the time. Yeah. It just felt like there was so much of just like, here's this recap of the story that you've already seen. Here's a replay from earlier in the night. Here's a replay of a thing that just happened. It was all just like, oh my God, there's so much of just filler. Like, they don't they don't have enough. And it was like the beatdown happened. She did the bank statement. Bianca was tapping and she was passed out. Sasha held up the title and it was like, okay, cool. Let's end the show. Now let's show you a replay of that thing that just happened. And then Sasha's going to do the bank statement again. And it was like, why though? Like, it just felt like they done everything a bit prematurely and just been like, got another minute. You just do it again. Like,
they finished like 3 hours light or 3 hours, 3 minutes late.
Yeah.
You know, like the show went off the air early. So it definitely felt like this was a show where they were just filling for time a lot of the time.
Yeah.
And you could put that time in the wrestling match.
Yeah, totally. Just make the matches longer.
Give the six-man... If that six-man tag went like 15 to 20 minutes
and
it's just six great workers having a fun match, that would be so much better.
Yeah, man.
Oh, Lord. Yeah, oh, well. But nah, seven recap packages and
is what it is.
And oh, 5 minute entrances and stuff.
I will say, not to call out anyone in particular here, but I'm just going to bring this up. Replays are nothing new. I know. And I've seen a lot of things online of people being like, WWE pinning the champion, it's nothing new. That doesn't mean it's okay. That doesn't mean it's fine. That doesn't mean it's okay to do it. That doesn't mean it's good for the product. Sure, it's nothing new. But there are some shows where you just notice it more than normal. There's some shows where you just go, man, this one thing is really annoying me this week.
Minus one, minus one, minus one. And it's not always the same minus ones.
No.
That's the thing. You know the phrase, like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it? This is,
yeah.
It's been broke forever, don't bother fixing it.
It's been broke forever. Please, for the love of God, fix it.
Yeah, that's what we're saying.
Trying to say. For God's sake. Yeah. I've seen a lot of people say that about a lot of WWE sports. Like, well, it's been that way forever. It's like, uh-huh. That's the point. That's what we're saying. God. Anyway.
Okay. Not just have a conversation. Whoop, not that one. Just have a conversation with Herb here. Mm-hmm. It's not that easy to work to a minute. As someone who went through production school and has done broadcasts and everything. It's not easy, but that's the job.
Mm.
Do a better job.
Yeah.
Is the point. They did a bad job.
Yeah.
You can block out a show better than this, I promise you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And also, like, yeah. Yeah. I mean, sure, if they realize they get to the main event and they go, ooh, we're a little bit tight, then you can tell the performer, they are professional wrestlers in the biggest wrestling company in the world. Tell them, be like, you've got an extra 3 minutes.
Yeah.
And they can have three more minutes in their match. That's all you need to do to work through an exact minute. I don't think it is that hard, in all honesty.
No. Especially for something like wrestling, where you, like, if it's really hard to cut a broadcast in or around because you got certain things you need to put in there. For something like this, where they're stretching, you have to fill time. You need more content. That's pretty easy when it's wrestling. Just get them to wrestle longer.
Yeah.
You don't need to fill it with recaps and entrances and such.
No, exactly.
The wrestling, wrestling is the name of the game.
Overall, I think I'm going to go a little bit lower than what I did on my edited review. On my edited review, I gave it a high 3 out of 5. I think I was a bit generous with that.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like there was a lot of stuff that didn't make sense. A lot of it was kind of like, this is fine. A lot of it felt a little bit stagnant. There was some good stuff. I did like the Sasha return. I thought was great, which kind of, you know, that was how they left the show, which was good. It's always good to have the final thing on the show be a very good thing. I don't mind the Reginald stuff. He probably shouldn't be getting as much screen time when Chad Gable gets less, but, you know, whatever. That's just my personal feelings on Chad Gable being amazing. I'll give it a 3 out of 5 rather than a high 3 out of 5. There you go.
What's the difference?
There is a difference. There's a difference. It's like giving it a 3.5 and I'm changing it to a 3.
I knew you were going to say that too. I was waiting for it.
Yeah.
I was like, it's not a high 3 out of 5.
It's just a 3.
A 3 out of 5.
Hey, it's not a high 3 out of 5. It's not a low 3 out of 5. It's the 3 out of 5. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
I'd say anyway.
I'll be honest, the only thing that I really really enjoyed on the show was the Sasha Banks stuff. Mm. Everything else was just kind of like either average or a waste of time, in my opinion. I thought they really kind of dropped the ball in the build to SummerSlam this week, where things were trending in an interesting direction before, and I did not think that this was a very good follow-up to a lot of that. The Sasha Banks stuff aside, and I like the Seth Rollins thing for what it was. Like, it was small, it wasn't super interesting, but it was solid. I think I'm going to go 2 out of 5 on this one. I didn't like this show very much. Not enough Roman. Yeah. Need more Roman content.
I didn't take a screenshot of the poll on the WrestleTalk podcast community tab because I'm really organized. But just refreshing it now, 52% of people voted for 3 out of 5. 25% went one higher with 4. 8% for both 5 out of 5 and 2 out of 5, and 6% did a 1 out of 5. So definitely in that kind of 3-3.5 range seems to be the majority there. So let's get into the rest of your Ultra Chats here. Last chance to get those in at wrestletalk.com/support. Maybe we might finish on time today. That's wild. MDon11 says, following Cena logic, should I write my name on someone else's contract to get what I want? Surely if it's good enough for John Cena, surely it's good enough for everyone. Yeah, totally. You should see if it works. Just in job offers, just barge into an office, and if someone signs a contract, just sign your own name. Be like, hey, it's mine now. There you go.
Yeah. Do exactly that. Wait outside of the biggest office at Google. Get in there somehow and just bust in, put them to a table and be like, my contract.
Yeah, exactly. Also, just in kayfabe, is there a reason why next week someone couldn't hunt down the contract, scribble out Cena's name, and write their own name in and sign it, and then they'd have the Universal title match?
I don't see why not.
Okay.
You could just tear up the contract.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
Just we need a new contract. Yeah,
whatever. Makes sense. Sean Costello says, Finn really was made to look weak this week, quietly sitting there and nodding during Roman's promo. Now he has the Corbin welcome package starting next week. What a waste. Yes, to a degree. I kind of agree with you. I didn't mind him nodding through Roman's promo because it was kind of just him just being yeah, sure. I mean, that was the vibe I got from it anyway. But yeah, the whole Corbin stuff I'm not a fan of.
Yeah, I mean, I know that Baron Corbin is more interesting now than he's been basically ever in his WWE run, but it's still that, oh, Finn, you're back from NXT? Here's your SummerSlam match, pal, Baron Corbin.
Yeah.
It's probably not going to be amazing, but...
And I will say, I don't know if Baron Corbin's character has me interested to extend to his matches. I still don't know if I'm excited to watch Baron Corbin matches. Yep. That's the thing.
That's the problem. That's my problem with Baron Corbin from the beginning until now, is I don't want to see his matches.
Yeah. Gatecrasher Forever says, the whole contract signing made Finn look totally second rate and not on Cena's level. We even had the return of Smiling Finn while the crowd chanted Cena. Also, Tempest, I know it's weeks away, but will you and Son all be doing live reactions for New Japan's G1, LIW for life?
I don't know. I would presume probably not. I had a lot less work on my plate last year when we did that than I do now.
Yeah.
And that was a lot. We did 15 of the 19 G1 shows.
Yeah.
It was fun. I really enjoyed doing it. Make sure you go back and look at a lot of the live reactions and podcasts that we did last year. But it's probably not looking great for live G1 coverage, unfortunately.
No, probably not. I mean, to put it in context, I'm really pushing that we do TakeOver live reactions for the TakeOver after SummerSlam, TakeOver 36. I'm really pushing that we do live reactions for that, but I don't know if we're gonna. It's kind of a coin flip right now, whether we're actually going to or not.
So you're going to kill me SummerSlam weekend. You understand hey man, that?
I don't know if you're going to be involved in it, Tempest.
Oh, LIW friction. Can we coexist? All right.
Because it might just be us back in the office by then. Mm. Maybe. Mm.
Okay. So it's a British thing.
So, yeah. I see. It's not an LIW thing. It's just a racist thing. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Not
my fault. I was born here.
Vandalia1998 says, do you think Finn should care or will even care that Cena took his Universal title match, or will he just shrug his shoulders and fade away again? The latter. Finn won't care.
Probably.
It might be a line in a promo. It might him just be like, hey man, it's a shame I didn't get my Universal title match, but I'm going to take it out on Baron Corbin. That's about it.
Yeah. Maybe we can get a Finn Balor edgy tweener turn out of this.
That'd be nice.
He's still kind of a smiling baby face, but if he's like, no, my title match, we'll beat up John Cena before SummerSlam or something. I don't know.
Maybe he's just falling here. He's main roster and Prinks NXT Finn hybrid, maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
Kevin May says, I haven't watched SmackDown in a long while. I keep up with your show. I managed an hour last night. Good God, this was so boring. Cena is a tit. And for me, it's spoiling the Roman storyline. I'll stick to WrestleTalk for recaps because I enjoy your work. Well, thank you very much, Kevin. I appreciate it. Also, big fan of the description of Cena as a tit.
Yeah.
Good. I love it.
I agree with your message.
Yeah. SMB says, it's typical that the only continuities is Corbin being hit in the dick. But the rest of the show and the rest of the storylines don't make any sense. WWE don't know how to book anything interesting at the moment. It's the most skippable show ever. Thoughts? I mean, Raw is the most skippable show ever. But sure. Yeah. A lot of the other storylines make a degree of sense. There's some kernel of sense in there, but it's just surrounded by a lot of other stuff that doesn't. Like the women's stuff and Carmella and Zelina Vega being like, hey, we deserve title shots. It's like, no, you don't.
But yeah. Sure. And it's not even so much like the storylines to me. It's wins and losses not mattering. Mm-hmm. That's what makes things not make sense. It's like Carmella loses and the next week he's like, oh, another title match. Oh, the Mysterios lose the title. Oh, another title match. We're just going again. It's like, that's the part that doesn't make sense to me because things don't have consequences as opposed to like, the storylines, like the angles and everything like that, for the most part, those can be okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Eternal Blue says, Tempest out here flexing his AEW shill money. There it is.
That show I don't review.
AirPods didn't work, so he has to resort to Beats headphones, smallest violin. I pray for thee. Also, cannot fathom a conservative state booing a poor man down on his luck. Unimaginable sarcasm.
It's a good point.
Thanks, Eternal Blue. Yeah. I mean, also, Tempest, I just want to throw out, if you do have AEW shill money, I'm more than happy to receive some of that and start shilling AEW a lot more. If you can hook me up, that'd be amazing.
Yeah. Give it time. I might be able to work on something like that. I do. Cool, man. I don't know who it was, but I love the dude in the NXT review this week who said something along the lines of like, oh, Tempest, he loves when AEW has factions, but when NXT has a new faction, he doesn't like it. Which I said that I like the Ridge Holland thing, but I was also like, I have never reviewed AEW on this channel. Like, I've done maybe one podcast. I did the Blood and Guts podcast, but that's it. I've never talked about AEW, but oh, you AEW shill, how dare you?
Yeah.
Keep the checks coming.
Yeah. And the guy that was just like, oh, man. Tempest loves NXT so much. He's got his head so far up NXT's ass. It's like,
yeah.
Have you watched any of the reviews, my dude?
Oh, I love our fans.
Last fan standing says, Zelina Vega, I'm the fastest rising star. Also, Zelina Vega hasn't won a match since her return from her vacation. Me, where the F was Tony Storm? Yes, this was my tweet during this segment. Tony should have came out and challenged Bianca. Not Vega, LIW for life. She shouldn't if they were going to have the whole Sasha setup.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. Don't bring Tony in to just do nothing with her. But if they're going to, I would like her to be on the shows more to start getting her wins and building her up because, you know, wins and losses matter. Have her start beating people and getting some wins in so that she can become a legit challenger for after SummerSlam. Yeah.
Sounds good.
Go. Yeah. Jesse Venable says, Pete, you've come so far. It's been fun watching you go from screaming like a girl when Ollie called and offered you a full-time position at WrestleTalk. That wasn't me. To being our reigning, defending, undisputed Jam That champion. It's fun watching people enjoy what they do for a living. Hashtag Jam That Jam. Thank you very much, Jesse Venable. And also, seriously, that wasn't me. That was actually my partner at the time who could hear the phone call. And she screamed. It wasn't me. I know I'm defending this way too much and I sound mega sus that it sounds like it was me. But it actually wasn't me for once. At the time, my eyes went wide. I stood up and I ran into the kitchen. I didn't make a noise. I just ran into the kitchen because I was like, I don't know what to do. I have so much energy. I need to get the doc up before we go through these emails because I'm going to get myself distracted if I don't. If I don't do it now, I'm going to forget to do it entirely. Which is going to be terrible. Here's just a little admin bonus for everyone here. I know this is really exciting for everyone here. And I'm also getting tagged in another thing, which is just the word. Cool. Great. Thank you. Anyway, where were we? Emails. Let's do some things. Thank you, everyone that sent in emails. You're the best on a wide variety of topics as well. Loving it. Thank you so much. Send in more emails to support@wrestletalk.com is the email address to send them to. We have one here from Nathan, who sent in stuff about fighting games before on a previous episode, and we spoke about these crazy Street Fighter moments and things that we've remembered. So Nathan sends in another, says, hey lads, still trying to play around with the format of these emails, but I'm back with some fun facts about fighting games and other things that come to mind while watching NXT. First off, did you know that Kenny Omega was in promotional material for Street Fighter V as a character called Cody, and this happened while they were feuding in New Japan?
I did not know that. No. Interesting. I know that like New Japan stuff appears in Tekken, you know, like you can dress up King as Okada, and I think you can unlock a Bullet Club shirt and stuff like that. But that's all I knew.
It's very cool. Also, the match he was talking about, Tempest, was Infiltration versus PR Balrog from Evo 2013. And boy, did spring back memories of how much I hated Hakan, the oil guy, in that game. Mm-hmm. Pete, I'm going to assume you was talking about the Daigo parry, which was godlike. Yes, that is what I was talking about. They've linked the YouTube clip. I would play it, but there's no audio redeeming qualities of it. It's you just hear a crowd screaming because a guy is going nuts and parrying like 17 million things in a row with a sliver of HP. It's the best. Also, they link a clip of the most disrespectful thing I think I've ever seen in Smash Ultimate or any fighting game for that matter. And it's I watched it earlier. And again, I would play it, but it's an audio podcast, so it's just people going nuts. But basically, a guy's playing as Minecraft Steve in Smash Ultimate, and then spells out an F in the blocks that he's making, and then kills his opponent. It's incredibly disrespectful, but it's hilarious, and everyone loses their minds.
Wombo combo.
Yeah, it's the best. And he says, lastly, do any of you watch anime? And if so, what type of shows are you into? Hope you have a good day, lads. Nathan. I don't really watch anime. There's a few anime I've got on my to watch list, but God knows when I'm going to get around to it. Like, I really want to watch Full Metal Alchemist because I think I'd really enjoy it when I do start. I watched the first season of Beastars, which was quite fun. But I've not seen season 2, and I think that's out now. And I feel like I've seen some other stuff, but nothing's really come into mind too much.
Yeah, I see it's difficult. I wouldn't consider myself like a big anime viewer. I like anime for sure, but like I haven't watched a ton of it over the years.
Yeah,
but that doesn't stop me from watching it when I do want to watch it. Like over quarantine, I watched all of Death Note again, like properly for the first time. I watched it when it was coming out on TV when I was like 11, but it's different, you know, watching it as an adult. Really enjoyed that. I watched Gurren Lagann during quarantine. I enjoyed that.
I haven't heard of that one before.
It's quite good. It's about like mechs. It's a mecha anime. Cool. And then just like a lot of like the classics like Naruto and Dragon Ball and stuff like that. I watched Yasuke just like a week or two ago, just like a little mini series on Netflix. All good stuff, you know, and there's obviously a bunch of things that I'm still waiting to get around to watching, but I also have like 50 other like actual shows on that list too, so
yeah,
I'm not discriminating or anything. I just don't have time.
Totally, yeah. And it's like, there's so much stuff I want to watch. I don't know when I'm going to get time to watch anything, but at some point, maybe I will. Maybe, sort of. Maybe, hopefully, maybe. Yeah. But yeah, thank you for the email, Nathan. I've got one here from Milton talking about the MCU and hot takes in the MCU. So let's go. Chopper and Tempest. I'll give you a pass when it comes to Age of Ultron. To me, it's one of the lowest ranked MCU movies in my book. Dead last would be Thor: The Dark World. Now, my hot take is, with the Disney Plus shows ultimately setting up the multiverse, do you think, it's not really a hot take, but do you think that, spoilers for Loki, I guess, don't know if I want to say this. I've not seen Loki, but I know the spoiler. I'll chat to you about this off stream, Tempest, because just in case. I'll say actually, no, I can say it without doing spoiler. With Disney Plus shows ultimately setting up the multiverse, do you think that new character that was introduced in Loki that might be a big bad, maybe, sort of, Will be the new big bad, or do you think they're a puppet for the eventual main villain? My thought is Galactus is the big bad, and kind of like Silver Surfer from the Fantastic Four 2007 movie, this new character person is scouting and eventually preparing the planet for his arrival. Thanks for your consideration, Milton.
I think that's entirely possible. You know, if you need to go bigger than Thanos, then Galactus.
Yeah.
You know, would definitely apply. I think he's going to be the big bad for at least a while. We don't know when like the next Avengers movie is going to be, because Phase 4 is just going to kind of be like everyone kind of gets their own movies, then they're going to do Fantastic Four and stuff like that and whatever. Yeah. I don't know when. Yeah, it's going to be a while before we see like Avengers 5 and stuff like that. But
yeah,
I think that'd be pretty cool. I think that's a cool character to have as a big bad villain. He's going to be in like a bunch of the movies at least. You know, he's been confirmed for at least, I think, a couple. So I think there's definitely a possibility.
And I think he brings a completely different vibe to Thanos as well, which is great.
Absolutely.
It's not like, oh, it's another big dude that's really strong. Like, it's something completely different. So it'd be cool if he's big bad. We've got another one here from, while we're on the subject of MCU hot takes, we might as well go to Nishant, who says, MCU hot take. Ooh, this is a hot one. I'm assuming he means Captain Marvel, because he said Miss Marvel, but Captain Marvel is the 2015 Roman Reigns of the MCU. They're trying to push her too hard, and all of the big three, Captain America, Thor, and Tony Stark, gave her the rub at the beginning of Endgame. Also, in her own movie, her defining character trait was just getting up after being knocked down. I have two problems with this. Firstly, it was just done in the Spider-Verse movie, and the Spider-People actually did it better. And secondly, she just gets up. Nothing else. They don't show her getting up and being pissed off that she failed, getting up and trying to attack the problem from another angle, or even getting back up, rolling her sleeves, and finishing the task this time. No, her character trait is just that she gets up. That's all for today. Sorry for the long rant. Lots of love and stay safe. Nishan.
Well, I mean, Into the Spider-Verse did everything better.
Yeah, that's like Into the Spider-Verse.
That's like a top two or three. Yeah, that's like a top two or three comic book movie of all time. So, yeah.
Also, I didn't realize the time was super late.
You started on the next email, and I was like,
I wasn't looking at the time.
I agree. That movie's not great.
I think it's distinctly average. Captain Marvel. Hey,
solid middle of the pack Marvel.
It's probably not made for me, and that's totally fine. But for me personally, it's very average. But that's okay.
I wanted to like it a lot, like when it came out, and then I've watched it more since, and I'm just like, it's kind of boring.
Yeah, very very quick. Going to leave you on this hot take as well. I know this has much more significance outside of the actual quality of the movie itself. I think Black Panther is very average. Very average as a movie, but obviously it has much more cultural significance and, you know, has a lot more impact on the wider world. But as a movie by itself, it's fine. Killmonger's great. Everything else is... Anyway, on that bombshell, we're going to go now because we need to actually go live. So thanks for listening, everyone. Really do appreciate it. Stay tuned for loads more content coming soon. Stay safe. Take care of each other. We love you very much. Goodbye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're concerned about mental health or looking to get into self-improvement, join me at the Piece by Piece podcast.
There, I'm interviewing everyday people and experts alike about how to overcome difficulties around mental health. Speaking of which, I just released an interview with a mental health historian and another with two friends who are healthcare workers.
If these conversations interest you, check us out at Piece by Piece. That's Piece with an A, B-I, and then Piece with an I. Thank you so much.